Hey Andrew, thanks for coming on the show today. Super excited to chat about Zapier and automation and more.
Hi, Matthew. Yeah, likewise. Thanks for having me. Excited to chat.
A super cool week to be chatting about Zapier with them having just made their first acquisition. They went public yesterday with announcing that they had acquired MakerPad for undisclosed sum. That's a pretty interesting thing for the no-code space in general.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first thing I made me think of is, Stripe, when they acquired Indie Hackers and how good that was for them, being able to branch out into the ecosystem. So I think, yeah, for Zapier, this is great. I wasn't expecting it, but as soon as I read it, it really makes sense. I think, yeah, they'll be able to connect with no coders. They'll be able to put their product front and center. They'll be able to get a bunch of, good feedback that will make Zapier, more useful. And it all grew off Ben's tweet from way back about how Zapier was, I think, the top, product that their members are using. So, yeah, I'm all for it.
Yeah, definitely. Which that tweet's interesting because it mentioned, I believe, Zapier and Airtable as being
That's
two of the
right.
top contenders for how people are building automations, which is an interesting battleground right now. Well, you could call it a battleground, I guess, to a certain degree. It's just people building out their feature sets for their products. But at any rate, where there's this sort of competition between standalone automation platforms and sort of built-in automation. I was going to jump into that later in the conversation, but what do you think about that so far? As far as do you see platforms like Airtable building in more integrations and making first party, more or less native integrations being the standard, or do platforms like Zapier still play a large role in automation going forward?
Yeah, it's interesting. I know from the article I sort of published on the Capiche site where we looked at the history of, integration automation, it's sort of coming back around in a circle. Originally it was apps all trying their own sort of efforts and tool sets for making their apps interoperable with others. And it sort of didn't work. And then tools like Zapier came along and sort of brought it all into a centralized space. And now I think, yeah, apps, seeing how much people want to connect different apps with different apps, they're sort of coming back around. And building, much better versions of these tools. I know Airtable have their automations now, and they're, increasing what they can do with scripting. I think, yeah, we'll see other apps do it. Again, I worry, it could end up being quite disjointed. And I still think, tools like Zapier will be important because they just have all that tech and all that thinking and all that, centralization and the sheer number of different apps and combinations of connections you can make, I think. Yeah, but for specialists, for niche connection stuff like that, yeah, I think tools will start building more and more of their own things.
It reminds me of the saying about you make money by bundling or unbundling, and that's often used to refer to cable television. And then the unbundling would say Netflix, and then eventually, now that there's so many streaming platforms, perhaps we'll see rebundling. With automation, though, it feels like to a certain degree, you get this push and pull where I guess third-party integration platforms, API-driven stuff, can be great for connecting to other services, but built-in first-party stuff can be better at exposing built-in features and say automating stuff in-app. And so I know, like
Absolutely.
at Capiche, we use Customer.io for our email marketing. And there's almost no way you could do the same workflow stuff with any third-party tool as you can internally. And then you add a webhook step and push data to Zapier if you want to send stuff outside of the platform. And I wonder if that's sort of how we end up seeing it, where you maybe the internal, you're wanting to say do something when you move a Trello card inside Trello. You might automate that locally, but you want to do something third-party. That's where you go for the bigger platforms.
I think if, yeah, it's exactly the point. I think what I say with people, the great thing about Zapier is they've managed to go broad. They've covered so many apps, but it's hard to go deep. With a lot of those apps, there's maybe just a few triggers and actions. And now that apps sort of manage their own integrations on Zapier a lot of the time, it's kind of reliant on these apps to keep up with what they're doing, keep their integrations current and integrating with their new features. And it doesn't surprise me that some apps, the bigger apps with bigger user bases, are thinking, you know what, we really know our feature set and we can deliver, more integrated integrations if we do it within our app. We can actually give people more access to more features in a more harmonized way. But
Totally.
how you know and then but then they've got to build a team out to support that, and I think that's where they can hit some barriers.
Right. And Zapier has nowadays, I believe, just over 3,000 integrations, which is just wild, the amount of software connected. Which I was wondering, so you also work with Integralmat. Your site mentions that you work with N, how's it pronounced? NAN, I
NAN,
guess.
yeah.
Yeah, and Parabola. How do you see them stacking up comparing to each other today? Do you have one you recommend for a specific task, or are they more or less Coke and Pepsi, or how do you see it right now?
I think in terms of Zapier and Integromat, it's definitely sort of a Coke and Pepsi thing. I think, you know, Zapier, like I say, is broad. They've got the market share. People know about them. When people search for an integration tool, that tends to be the one they'll find. Integromat, in a lot of ways, has some great plus points. You know, I think the UI is more intuitive. I think a lot of power users find it easier to build with. And although they've got maybe less apps they integrate with total, a lot of those integrations go quite a lot deeper. So depending on use case, I think some people find Integromat a better choice, combined with the fact that it is quite a bit cheaper as well. People with sort of long, big, complex workflows are moving in that direction. And with tools like N8N, I mean, I think N8N, obviously there's the self-hosted version, and now there's a cloud version, yeah, which I think is gonna broaden its appeal. But I'd say with that, it's a bit like Integromat, but you can throw in a lot more custom coding in there, and they have some other, you know, power features as well, like multiple trip sources and other bits and pieces. And they charge, you know, their pricing in their cloud edition is per workflow. So again, that's a game changer for people with complex workflows. And Parabola, I think, interesting, yeah. I think they're sort of the flavor of Zapier and automation, but more around, you know, taking big data sets and iterating over them and merging them. So, maybe a bit out of the wheelhouse of the others, but again,
yeah,
useful in the same sorts of ways to the same sorts of businesses. And that's why, with those last two, I think they're more experimental for us. We're trying to see what the demand is. And if people start asking about them and wanting to do more work with them, we'll sort of, you know, push them a bit more.
It's funny how years back when I had first joined the Zapier team, where I used to work on their content team, Ift was the big competitor, right? Like internally at company retreats, we'd mention, I first used Ift and then I sort of upgraded to Zapier. And to a certain degree, it felt like internally is like, oh, okay, this is sort of the competition, but they were always more consumer focused. And it feels like in the automation space, especially around SaaS automation, they've pretty much fallen off the radar. Is that pretty much your perspective from working with customers as well?
Yeah, I get the read that, I don't know, at some point they kind of stopped innovating. Like I said, I think for a while they were the like personal automation tool of choice, and they've got some really interesting, weird sort of things you can connect on there, particularly like, you know, around the appliance and the, you know, Internet of Things space, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Bulbs,
like that, yeah. No other app has touched. How, you know, you can do some cool, interesting at home stuff. I don't think it's very applicable to business. And I think when they took the focus off that, that's where Zapier came in and swooped and did a lot. And the read I get now is, you know, they weren't charging their consumers to use it. They didn't have a lot of money. I don't think they've got much of an engineering team. There's a lot of bugs that I see talked about, and this new, you know, effort of pricing seems to have scared a bunch of people off and away to Zapier. So
yeah,
they started the space, but I feel like for whatever, probably internal reasons, they just couldn't quite maintain the momentum there.
Yeah, as far as I remember, they were charging developers to launch on their platform. And
that's right.
Perhaps that makes sense for Internet of Things stuff. If you're Philips and you're launching light bulbs, and this gives you the software library to just work with directly, that's great. But for your average software, it didn't feel like it made as much sense from a developer perspective, I think.
I agree, and I think that's why there's not much on there, you know, other than these, you know, at-home tools. I mean, yeah, if I ever want to get my lights switched on by a tweet or something, they'll be my first port of call, but not much demand from business.
Of course, you mentioned launching the space, but I think Yahoo Pipes may have the credit there for launching the space, or maybe even macOS Automator to a certain degree.
You're right there. But Yahoo Pipes, you know, researching that before my time, but yeah, researching that, you know, it was interesting to see, like, you know, the similarities and differences between what you've got today. It was innovative, if not probably a little bit ahead of its time, I think.
It was so focused on RSS feeds, though, which is interesting today, where they're still the backbone of a lot of stuff, but they're so hidden, right? And a REST API, to a certain degree, isn't that much different, depending on, you know, if it's a public API, whatnot, that's not password protected. But at any rate, the use cases just went crazy once you had XML formatting and whatever, the amount of stuff you can do with it, it's wild. So switching gears, I was wondering, if you're building with no code today, what's your default stack? You mentioned all these other platforms that do work similar to Zapier. What do you tend to reach for if you're building something?
So within Luhu, for sure, I'm using Airtable is basically the CRM. you know, the content planning tool I use. It's the everything. It's the center. I'm using Slack, both, you know, for communication with people, but also as a sort of command and control center. You know, certain keyboard shortcuts and messages typed up that can trigger Zaps. So I'm doing bits with that. Webflow is powering the website, and that's plugged into Zapier. And I've also played with another website builder called Umso, which is a bit more draggy and droppy, but you can't quite do so much with the design. So I've been using that to sort of prototype stuff quite effectively. Of course, I'm using Zapier, of course, using Integromat as well. That's the core of it. And then a few different apps doing the more specialized stuff.
So I'm curious, from ones you're actually using, do you have examples of workflows you chose to set up with Zapier versus Integromat and vice versa?
A lot of it was set up in Zapier, and then more recently I've tried to sort of push myself to do more in Integromat. I mean, my experience has always been more with Zapier, but as I've learned more about Integromat, I've moved it there. I've got some Zaps set up in there, for example, in Integromat that basically monitor incoming tweets that mention Zapier or that mention Integromat. And basically I'm having those, you know, dumped into an Airtable each day for me to look at, to see what, you know, people are talking about and jump into interesting conversations. And then another part of that workflow, if anyone uses a question mark in any of those tweets, that gets put into a Slack message to me. So I can, if it's a question, I want to get in there fast and message people.
Oh,
so
clever. Yeah.
Doing that. What else I've got? Integromat. I've got Integromat monitoring incoming, you know, payments from Stripe when people pay their invoices and stuff. And, you know, update Xero, updates my CRM that I've set up in Airtable. So yeah, a lot of tinkering in both.
You've got a lot of task-heavy stuff in Integromat, I think.
That's it. It pushes that way. If only just so keep my plan price down. My current Zapier plan has 50,000 a month, so I'm trying to keep it under that. I'm butting closer. So I might have to move some more stuff over to Integromat.
So what was the original idea behind Luhu, and how did you get started doing automation consulting?
Yeah, so I think probably like a lot of people, I had a little lead generation business set up matching language teachers with students. It was making some money, but not a lot. So I thought, you know, I can't afford to hire anybody. Let's see if I can automate. So I start Googling around and I end up on Zapier, and I built a Zap, and it made my life easier in one area. And then I sort of did another thing in my business, and I think after like a few months I'd become quite obsessed about it, like even spending an hour to automate something that would, you know, save me only a minute, but it was just the process fascinated me. At this point, I've got a business that's like making a little bit of money but taking like almost zero time now, so I've got a lot of time back. I think maybe some other businesses would, you know, want this sort of thing. So quite on a whim, I sort of signed up to Fiverr, I signed up to Upwork, made a profile. To be honest, I think it was the next day, you know, I started applying for jobs. People were posting, looking for people. Can you automate this in Zapier? Can you automate that? I didn't always necessarily know if I could. I hadn't used a lot of the tools that people mentioned this time, but I thought, you know, I can work it out. So yeah, I just started sort of bidding for winning jobs, you know, building more stuff in Zapier. I think that was 2017. You know, 2018 was just doing that, getting more skills, learning more about the platforms. And then in the 2018, 2019, that was when I built the business, started up Luhu as the agency, and this is built from there. And that's my coffee machine switching off in the background there.
Oh, okay. Nice.
There you go. So yeah, I wasn't anything planned. It was a case of, I've accidentally learned how to use an automation tool. Let's see if somebody else wants that. Oh, they do. Oh, they do a lot. Okay, I need to build something around this. And this is before Zapier were ever really engaging with the experts, you know, that were helping their customers. Right. That's only really come in the last year. They've realized how much, you know, value adding to their customers, and they've really built a program around it.
Very cool. And it just worked into something where you loved working with automation and you were able to basically turn it into a business. And you have a team now, right?
Yeah, so it's me sort of full-time, and then there's three or four other sort of contractors who are doing their own things mostly as well, and doing some, you know, jumping in for some of my projects. It's quite a small sort of network still of people that are sort of proficient at Zapier at a high level. So it's a lot of, you know, working on our own things, working for each other, getting involved in each other's projects and building stuff.
Nice. That's super cool. So I wanted to wrap up with one question that actually I had two things actually I wanted to talk about. One was, have you tried the new looping tool yet?
Yes.
Hit that real quick.
It's good. I think it works.
Changed
it
how
works
you use Zapier much?
For sure. I mean, the biggest thing was it really wasn't possible to sort of loop on data before. So, you know,
sure.
Shopify, for example, orders come in, you want to format the content of each line item or do something with each line item. Difficult to do.
Right.
You know, there were hacks, code steps, you know, stuff with Google Sheets, but it wasn't easy. So that's a lot easier. And looping over, you know, now there's a way you can sort of basically find all rows on a Google Sheet and iterate over them. Much easier now. That's another thing before Integromat was you'd have to go to Integromat to do that. So yeah, I was on the beta for it sort of for 6 months. I think it's great. I'm glad they got it out. It's one of the features everybody wanted. So
bravo. Nice. Yeah. It's something I've done forever by just copying stuff from any app into a Google Sheet just to sort of iterate over existing data. And it's still just a habit I have just to go, okay, make a Zap. And then copy data into that sheet just to make sure it runs through everything. So I still need to give that a shot. So that was something you were looking forward to. If you could add any one thing to Zapier or a competing platform today, what would you like to see in no-code automation tools?
I guess for Zapier, it would be, let's please be able to duplicate and rearrange steps in workflows. But they know that.
That'd be amazing.
And they told me it's coming soon, apparently. You heard it here first. It would be nice to basically be able to converge workflows, both in Zapier and Integromat. That would be hyper useful. And similarly, being able to trigger workflows from multiple sources. So you're not having to build the same workflow, you know, for one source, the other source. If you could have all sources trigger. And that's something that NAN does do. So converging and multi-sourcing.
That would be cool. Reminds me a bit of Segment on the more, I guess, raw API integration side, where they'll pull multiple data sources and dump them into one place. Being able to dump that into a workflow directly would be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. That would, for me, those two things would like be a game changer in the amount of different new things I could offer to clients. So,
totally. Well, here's to hoping Zapier ships a few of them. Andrew, thank you so much for coming on today. This has been awesome chatting about Zapier. For listeners who are tuned in, where's the best place to find you and your company?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. So Google Luhu, we're number top if you want to work with us. If you want to find me and chat about automation, Twitter. So that's at Andrew J. Davison. That's probably where I'm most active. So that's the best place to, you know, get in touch.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. Best of luck to you and your team.
Thanks, Matthew. Thanks for having me. Have a great day, everyone.
You too. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.